Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Losing a baby is a sensitive subject that many people find difficult to discuss, and they'll avoid talking about it, really, whilst others will know what to say to someone who has lost a child. But what help and support is available to parents and families who have lost a baby? Joining me on the line now is Jen Coates from the charity SANS. Now, that's an acronym for Stillbirth and Neonatal Death. Good evening, Jen.
Good evening, Clive. Good to be here.
Thank you, and thank you for your time this evening. Tell me about your organisation, SANS, first of all.
Well, we're a national charity which was founded over 40 years ago now by two bereaved mothers who reached out into that sort of void, really, after their babies died, not knowing, you know, who else was out there. One of them was Belle Mooney, who was a journalist, and she wrote an article in, I think, The Guardian at the time, mm-hmm. and... Hazel Ann Lewis was a psychiatric social worker, and she read the article and had also experienced the death of her baby, and they connected, and what resulted was the most incredible partnership that developed this national charity. I mean, it started off with sack loads of post arriving at Hazel Ann's house from other mothers and parents who had experienced the death of a baby, and gradually has grown over the last 40 years into the UK-wide charity that we are now.
Tell me about the charity's sort of key objectives then.
Well, it's really how we started, which was to provide support for bereaved parents, to improve the care that bereaved parents have, the clinical care as well as psychological care when they're in hospital and a baby has died, or if they know that a baby is going to be delivered and not expected to live. And we also campaign to reduce the numbers of babies dying as well. There are 14 babies every day in the UK that die from stillbirth or neonatal death.
Is there any medical evidence out there that helps us identify why babies die through stillbirth?
It's really difficult because there are lots of different reasons. Not one particular reason. I don't know if you remember the sort of change in campaigning around sudden infant death, or cot death as it was known.
Yes.
When it was found that if you put a baby to sleep on their back, that reduced the numbers dramatically, and that's remained, you know, those numbers have remained really low. And I think with stillbirth and neonatal death, there are lots of different reasons, and we fund research and campaign for improvements in care to reduce those numbers. But I think it's not as simple as one solution, basically.
How did you get involved with SANS, Jen?
I trained as a nurse a very long time ago, and I've been in counselling and end-of-life care, and we also have family connection with SANS. So SANS has been part of my family's life since my little brother died neonatally when I was 17.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
so
that.
So I've always known about SANS, so when this job was advertised, it just felt like the perfect combination, really, and it's a real privilege to be able to work for a charity that does such amazing stuff and is making a real difference to people all over the UK.
Help me to understand then, what is a stillbirth and what is a neonatal death? How are they one and the same, or are they two different things?
They're different.
Right.
I mean, I think it's important for people to know that SANS will support anybody who is affected through baby loss at whatever gestation or stage of pregnancy. If people find SANS and we're the right support for them, we won't turn them away. But obviously our focus, primary focus, is around stillbirth, which is from 24 weeks of pregnancy through to birth. And then neonatal death is from birth through to 28 days.
Right.
But they're sort of... they're arbitrary lines, really, that have been chosen, I suppose, because of the likelihood of a baby surviving when it's born at 24 weeks. And that's obviously reviewed as medical advancements develop. But that's more or less, you know, where stillbirth begins.
But I find
24
it
weeks.
Desperately sad. You said 14 babies die each year, did you say, as a result of
every
this?
Every day.
Every day, I beg your pardon. So 14 every day, that makes it monumentally worse, doesn't it?
It is. It's a really shocking figure, and I think it's something that many bereaved parents, when they contact us, they say they had no idea that stillbirth still exists. You know, that it feels quite a Victorian thing, really, in lots of ways, but it absolutely does exist, and we really need to get those numbers down.
It happened to my auntie, I mean, long before I was born, because she lost her first baby, and then her second child, who, you know, went on to live, and he's my cousin, and he's in his sort of 70s now kind of thing. So we are talking a long time, but, it, you know, it was happening in the 40s and 50s. And, you know, so it's not something that's new, dare I say it. But I think we take steps to understand it better now.
I think so. And the numbers have come down. You know, until quite recently, the numbers were sort of 21, and then it went down to 17, and then 15, and now it's 14. But I think we support parents, long ago bereaved parents as well. And obviously the care way back then wasn't as good at all. And often mothers, because they often delivered on their own at that point, weren't even allowed to see their baby. And they were told to go away and just to try again and have another baby. So there was no acknowledgement of that grief. And we still support a lot of older women who are just beginning to grieve, really, and realizing that they're allowed to grieve for their baby. They're allowed to name their baby and remember them. In the sort of special ways that we can support parents to remember their babies.
I'm a big Call the Midwife fan, and they've covered this story. I can't remember whether it was this present series that's just ended, but certainly in the past. And okay, that story is set in the 1960s, but the point you've just made was very clearly illustrated, where they have the parent has the chance to name the baby, but as you've just said, the baby's taken away.
That's right. And we have advised on Call the Midwife, which has been a huge privilege, obviously. And they have covered the stories very sensitively, I think, and in the way that was, you know, happening at that time. And it's always really helpful, I think, when television programs do cover stillbirth and neonatal death, because it raises awareness. It reduces that awful isolation that bereaved parents feel when they are bereaved, because often people won't know what to say to them. They'll avoid them in the street rather than say the wrong thing. Often people have left work, you know, and had a sort of exciting leaving do with presents that are baby related, and then they have to come back to work and not have their baby and not be able to bring their baby into work, show photos and things. And that's a really challenging time, and I think that the more that television and media can do to raise awareness really helps to reduce that isolation and enables the general population, friends and family, to be able to relate to bereaved parents and just give them that space to be able to talk about their baby in the way that they would if their baby had lived.
How does SANS then help parents and whole families then? What support do you give?
Well, we have an amazing bereavement support services team who are on the end of the telephone on our helpline. We answer emails. We do a lot of social media support now. We have a closed support Facebook group, but we also have sort of more open support on our general Facebook pages. We're on Instagram. And we have SANS United clubs, which are primarily for dads at the moment, football clubs, where dads can just go along and kick a football around, and they don't necessarily need to talk about their baby. They just can be with other men who have experienced baby loss and open up when they feel able to. A lot of bereaved parents find it helpful to get involved in our research and become the voice of bereaved parents, to create a legacy for their baby in that way, and that's very supportive for them as well. And some bereaved parents also get involved in our healthcare professionals training, so they are telling their story to really as a very powerful part of the training, and it's always really well evaluated by the healthcare professionals, hearing that personal story from a bereaved parent. And it's an incredibly brave thing to do, and we support them to do that. But that's another way that we provide support in enabling bereaved parents to talk about their baby and create that really positive legacy for their baby and in making a difference, I guess, to healthcare professionals. So there are lots of different ways, also campaigning, obviously, for changes in care and in legislation. So there are lots of different ways that we support bereaved parents, both sort of right at the beginning and that a really acute, painful stage of grief and anniversaries and birthdays. And those special milestones you know, when your friend's babies that you might have been expecting at the same time, when they hit those milestones, that can be incredibly painful. You know, that first day at school, or for older parents when their contemporaries' children are getting married, they're always quite bittersweet days because you're imagining what might have been with your own baby. So it's a combination of support and campaigning, and enabling bereaved parents to get involved in fundraising and challenges as an empowering way to create that legacy for their baby.
It's good to hear that you support fathers as well, because clearly, you know, they're in exactly the same position as the child's mother. But let's fast forward to the present day then. Let's leave Call the Midwife behind for a bit. Should this happen to a couple today, or a mother in hospital, how do hospitals support? What happens? Because, you know, it's not like, as you've just said, it's not like how it was in Call the Midwife back in those days. So what happens in modern hospitals today? How do midwives get involved?
Well, we hope very much that they will have had some SANS training or some training from another baby loss charity, and understand that the most important thing they can do is to hold that space for bereaved parents to spend time with their baby, and to encourage them to take photographs or have photographs taken, and to start making memories. We create, or we have created, a beautiful memory box that we send out to as many hospitals as possible for free to those hospitals, so that they can give one to each bereaved family. And it contains a beautiful hand-knitted blanket, knitted by a volunteer. We have an army of knitters around the country who create these beautiful white blankets that can parents can use to wrap their baby in while they spend time with them. And then they can choose to leave that with the baby, or they can keep it in their memory box as a memory. We have hand and footprint kits, and the midwives can use those to help parents take hand and footprints of their baby, and to start those conversations which really set the tone for the bereavement. We know that if professionals are given the support to be able to have those conversations, it really helps bereaved parents going forward if they've had a positive time with their baby and been able to make those special memories. We campaign for bereavement suites, and we have incredible volunteers around the country fundraising for us to create bereavement suites in hospitals, which mean that parents can spend up to 2 or 3 days really in a hospital in a separate space with its own, sort of like a bedroom really, that's very non-clinical, with cold cots so that the baby can be kept for as long as possible with the parents. Mm-hmm. And it's a soundproof room, because hearing new babies crying and the joy of birth when you're newly bereaved is obviously incredibly challenging. So we fund bereavement suites around the country as well. So we hope that midwives would have that sort of environment, or at least a separate room where they can support parents for as long as they want to be with their baby, to start making those memories, and invite, obviously in non-COVID times, invite family and friends in to meet the baby as well. Grandparents often will come in, and siblings of the parents and close friends. And that's really important going forward, because it means that someone else has met the baby. It can feel terribly unreal to leave a hospital when your baby has died. And the sort of intensity of grief, it can be quite confusing really to try and talk about that, and really to believe that your baby did exist when nobody else has met the baby. Mm-hmm. It makes it much, much harder. So if parents can spend that time and introduce their baby to very close friends and family, then that can be a really important part of the beginning of that healing process as well for friends and family too.
Now, SANS is involved with a lot of research. Tell me about the research that you're doing, and how is the data used?
Well, at the moment, we're very much focused on an international study looking at the impact of COVID on stillbirth. And obviously, we don't have the results of that yet. The sort of results are emerging, and that's a really important study. We support research in lots of different ways. Sometimes it's through funding, but often it's about being the voice of bereaved parents and ensuring that that voice is incorporated into the research, and that parents are directly involved in shaping the research, having input into the research if they want to, because that's how we're going to find the answers. Parents are the people that are sort of throughout the whole journey. They're the only ones who are part of that whole journey all the way through. You know, medics and other healthcare professionals come in and out of that journey. So by involving parents in an integral way in research, that's really going to help us make a difference to reducing the numbers and finding out more information about why stillbirths happen. And the way we use that is obviously for the research itself and findings, but also having direct feedback, I guess, from parents. During COVID particularly, I can give you an example. Right at the beginning, obviously parents were told that only the mother could come in for scans. And if you can imagine finding out that your baby has died or is expected to die at your scan when you're on your own, is absolutely devastating. And we heard that mothers were having to go and break the news to their partners in the car park, for example, which is obviously completely unacceptable and not something, obviously, that was ever anticipated or that any professionals would have wanted either. So we were able to feed that back to our research and policy team. We've got a small team at SANS who work with the Royal Colleges of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Royal College of Midwives and the NHS, and we were able to feed that in real time to them to make sure that hospitals were able to modify how parents were told so that mothers didn't have to go and break the news to their partner. So we're able to use research, informal research like that, very quickly, but also to get involved in the longer-term studies as well that make a difference in finding out why stillbirth is still happening.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago about healthcare professionals. How do you support them? And because, you know, midwife or paramedics or whatever, you know, how do you get involved with that? Do you advise trusts as a whole, or you know, can they come to you for help and support as well?
Both, really. It's very important that healthcare professionals, anybody who's a healthcare professional listening, our bereavement support services are absolutely there for you as well, and not just bereaved families. We know how devastating it is as healthcare professionals to support bereaved parents and how important, you know, support is for healthcare professionals as well. So all of our bereavement support services are there for healthcare professionals. And we also provide a really comprehensive and regular training. All of that's online at the moment in webinars, but it means we're able to run them more frequently than our face-to-face training, and they are sort of, they've been running continuously really throughout COVID. So if anybody is interested in one of our webinars, they should just go on our website really and find out about them. But we do a lot of training for healthcare professionals around the UK.
Give me an idea of some of the campaigns that you've run in the past.
Oh, well, we had a campaign that ran for a few years, actually, in different forms, called Finding the Words. And the first year we ran it, it was about finding the words, helping friends, family, colleagues to find those words when a family member, a friend, or a colleague is bereaved through baby loss, through stillbirth or neonatal death. And we created an animation, which is still on our website. So if anybody wants to see it, they can just search for Finding the Words and you'll find the animation, which is incredibly powerful. And we then moved on the following year to adapt that slightly for healthcare professionals as well, to enable healthcare professionals to find the words to support bereaved parents. And this year, for SANS Awareness Month, which is running throughout June, as it does every year, we're campaigning for continuity of carer. So we really want families to be supported by the same team throughout their delivery, because we know that that makes a difference to outcomes. And we know that if parents have built up a relationship with a midwife throughout their pregnancy, and then that midwife or that midwife team are able to deliver their baby, when a baby does die, it means that they are more comfortable with that team and they've built up a relationship, they're more likely to get the support that they need. But we also know that that continuity is really beneficial in safety and clinical care as well. So that's what we're campaigning for this year during SANS Awareness Month.
I also think that they would be more inclined to share their most, in their innermost feelings with the same team as well. So they, as you say, that improves their support. Now, one thing I do want to discuss with you is about the SANS Virtual Garden Day Remembrance event. What's that all about?
It's one of my favourite events of the year, actually. We're incredibly lucky. We have a beautiful little garden as part of the National Memorial Arboretum in Staffordshire. Mm-hmm. But for obvious reasons, we haven't been able to hold our annual garden event there. But it's a remembrance day, usually held at the Arboretum in the garden. And it involves readings and poetry and music to give parents the chance to meet other parents, to meet SAN staff, to find out what we're doing as an organisation, but crucially to have that reflective time in a beautiful environment to remember their baby. And we usually have up to sort of 200, 300 people there every year in Staffordshire. But over the last couple of years, last year we reached, I think, 1,500 people plus because we had it online, because we had to. So again, this year, the SANS Garden event is going live at 2 o'clock, I think it is, tomorrow on Saturday, and we're hoping to reach even more people. And this year, the focus is nature and the benefits of being outside and in nature and just the well-being that we get and how helpful that can be in our bereavement journeys, just getting out of the house and having a sort of wider space to be able to have all those feelings that are going around in your head at such a challenging time can be really beneficial, which is one of the reasons why our challenge events, I think, are so successful as well, because they're enabling bereaved parents to get support, but also giving them a reason to get out and walk the miles that are part of the challenge. And we also have a sort of challenge event that's running in tandem with SANS Awareness Month, which is focused on walking 100K in June outside to enable people to get out in nature and have a focus. And we know that that really benefits newly bereaved parents as well as long ago bereaved and everybody in between. So, yeah, the garden event is focusing on nature, being outside, and is giving parents, we hope, a really beautiful way of just taking some time out to remember their baby in the middle of their busy lives.
How can we find out more information about SANS then, Jen?
Well, Facebook, Instagram, our website, which is www.sans.org.uk. We have just under 100 groups of amazing volunteers around the country who are also bereaved parents who have been doing, rather than face-to-face group meetings, group support meetings during COVID, they've been organising things like walk and talk sessions, again, being outside and being able to chat to other bereaved parents safely. And we hope that those groups will get back to doing more face-to-face activity and awareness raising and support and fundraising as the restrictions lift. But in the first instance, yes, our main website will lead you to any aspect of our work, the research, the campaigning, the support, and our training for healthcare professionals, and also our training for employers as well. So if you've had to go back to work and your employer tried really hard to make it okay for you but didn't quite hit the spot or actually wasn't great at all, we've now got employers training as well, and we work with HR departments and teams to help them to create a return to work that is as gentle and supportive as possible, acknowledging what's happened, but just enabling people to ease back into work gently. So all of that information is on our website.
How are you funded, Jen? Because all this costs, you know, a lot of money, doesn't it?
It does. The vast majority of our funding is from the general public and bereaved parents and families who are incredibly generous. And one of the things we hear so often from bereaved parents is they never want this to happen to anybody else, which is an incredibly generous thought when you've lost your own baby. And it really underpins everything that we do at SANS. And we have some government funding for different specific projects, but the vast majority is just fundraised by families, friends, bereaved parents, and companies that find out about us and want to sponsor our work as well. That's a growing part of our funding too.
Well, I wish you every success in this coming year and certainly for the Garden Day Remembrance event tomorrow. Jen Coates from the charity SANS, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
Thank you for your time.
Not at all. Bye-bye.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.